Greatest story ever told. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The Word of God says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jesus, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, saying, 'Oh, where is Christ, or where Christ was to be born?' And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again today for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that as we come here this morning, we'll come putting aside everything that we might be thinking about and just focus on what the Word of God says, that our hearts may be enlightened. Lord, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us today. Lord, that the greatest thing, the gift of salvation, might come to those who have never invited you into their life, that those who have may commit their life to you fully. And Lord, this might be the greatest Christmas of all. We thank you, Lord, for your birthday. And we say happy birthday, Jesus, to you. In your precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Oh, isn't it fun going shopping? How many men like to go shopping? Would you raise your hand? Well, we got a couple. Are you sure? I knew there's something weird about you, brother. Not too many men like to shop. Let's put it that way. You're always in a dilemma, aren't you? What are you going to get? Man, I just, it makes me nervous about this time of the year. I break out in hives sometimes. But there's always the dilemma, what you get your friends, what are you going to get your wife, what is she going to get you, will it be pleasing, will it be the right size? You know, there's always a lot of questions about what you're going to get. And then it seems like it's never just the right thing. So therefore, we wonder about all of this shopping and getting presents. Well, the Bible says here in the last few verses that they brought him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, we hear it every year about this time that Jesus is the reason for what? The season, all right? Jesus is the reason. Christmas is all about the birthday of Jesus Christ. And I know our families love to celebrate birthdays. That's just part of the line and a heritage in our families, I guess. We go all out today for our children's birthdays. Some have pretty extravagant parties for their children. Some give extravagant, expensive gifts to their children. But birthdays are something we are to celebrate. And in this greatest story that's ever told, we find the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find these wise men who have followed his star. They've come to worship Christ. They've come and brought him some very special gifts. And as I read that, I thought about, what would we do today? If we were going to the birth of our Lord and Savior, what kind of gift would we bring him? Now think about that. What kind of gift? It's hard enough to buy for your wife or your children. But what about the King of all kings? What kind of gift would we present to Jesus Christ? Now these wise men, the Bible says, were from the east, probably the Persian Empire. They were wise men. They had studied medicine, astrology. They studied all kinds of things. They were wise men. They were learned men. And they were interested in the stars. They had studied those stars, and they had studied, evidently, the Bible and prophecy, for they knew that if they followed that star in the east, they were looking for a Savior. And verse 11 says they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, as we think about that, gold. Oh, if somebody wants to give gold to me, that's all right. I'll take a pound of it. Gold. Why don't you laugh at that? Because the pound is worth a lot of money, isn't it? Yeah, it's a very precious metal, isn't it? It's worth a lot of money. And in gold, I thought about this, in gold, I find the gift of lordship. You see, gold was a gift for a king. Now, it was a custom in the Persian Empire, if you come to a birth of a king and you didn't bring in a gift, man, you could be thrown out or executed or any other thing. You don't come to a birthday party for a king without a special gift. And these wise men recognized that this child that they were seeking out was a very special child. And they were looking for that special gift. And this wise man, this king, approached the King of Kings with this gift called gold. And the wise men, they wanted to find this very special king. So they went to where they might find him under this star. And they asked this Herod, he says, where is the king of the Jews? And the Bible says Herod was a little bit troubled. The king of the Jews. I'm the ruler here. So that bothers him. To think that somebody would come to worship a baby that's born king. And they said, we have seen his star in the east, and we've followed that star. And they recognized that he would be Lord, his lordship. And when they recognized his lordship, they came to worship him. Now, let me tell you something. We came this morning to church. We come here every Sunday morning. What did you come for? Have you ever thought about that? I came because I recognize that the Lord is the Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I came to recognize his lordship and to worship him. No other reason. I came to worship God today. I don't care about what the stock market's doing or what the football games are doing or any of those things. you know, I came this morning to worship God, to give Him the glory. He says, put me first. Remember the Sabbath day and what? Keep it holy. God is holy. He's pure. And today we ought to give Him the lordship He deserves. You know, trouble is, we don't, do we? Christmas time. Well, preacher, I would, you know, let me tell you something. The money's always short in December. I wonder why. Because we give Him the leftovers, don't we? Truth is, in most places, most of our lives, we spend all our money buying gifts for each other and other people and things like that, but we give God the leftovers. Well, Lord, if I have any leftover, then I'll give the preacher. I just don't have $100 to give the Lottie Moon. But I spent $500 on a pair of pants and shirt and something else for me. That's not right, is it? No. If you recognize that God is Lord, give Him that lordship. And you come and worship God and worship Him first in your life. Have you recognized His lordship today? Have you come today to worship Him? You see, that would be a good question for us to ask. Why did I come this morning? What made me get up and come to church on this beautiful Lord's Day? In Matthew 27:37, they placed on His head, over His head, a cross, a sign that read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." You see, they recognized His lordship. Even at death, they recognized His lordship. He's King of the Jews. Now you think of the celebration that was taking place. Oh, we walked down that road where He was supposedly entered into the city of Jerusalem. As you come down that road, you come down into, you see the temple and all of that. Oh, it's a glorious place to see that. And as they walk down that road with the temple there and the city, they sang praises. The Bible says they waved palm branches, singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." All thought was on the Word of God. All thought that day was on Jesus Christ. And He was declared Lord. Many places in the Bible you find the word, different words for God. Almighty God. King of Kings. Rose of Sharon. Lamb of God. Oh, the great I Am. You see, do we recognize His lordship today? As we come to the time called Christmas, will we give Jesus first place in our life? Will we give Him the greatest gift of all? The priceless gift, His lordship. They recognized that as they came, these wise men. Not only did they recognized His lordship, they accepted His lordship. In Philippians 2:10-11, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, I don't know about you, but we need to accept not only that He is Lord, but we need to accept that lordship in our life. These wise men asked Herod, they said, "Where is Christ to be born?" "Well, in Bethlehem, Judea. For don't you know it's written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art thou not the least among the prophets of Judah? For out of you shall come a governor or savior that shall rule my people Israel.'" As a king, He is a ruler, King. I love that S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge, in his famous sermon, "That's My King," says that my king is born king. The Bible says that he's a seven-way king. He says he's the king of the Jews. He says, my king is a king of Israel. My king is a king of righteousness. My king, he says, is a king of all ages. My king is a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And he says, that's my king. I'm asking you this morning, do you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of lords and King of kings in your heart? Do you? Amen. I'm glad somebody has accepted him. I expect the altar to be full this morning. You see, we need to accept that. And if we accept that and recognize his lordship, that he is Lord. Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Booney, you ever worry about dying? Man, I got too much to do to worry about that. I'll let God worry about me dying. You see, he said it's appointed that a man wants to die. I don't want to know that day myself. I don't want to know when the day is. I don't want to know how. I just know that one day he'll come. He says, I will come. And that day, I want to be working for Jesus. I want you to know that he is Lord in my life. And he should be Lord in your life. Everything you do ought to go around Jesus Christ in your life. And folks, is he king in your life? What can you give him today? Well, a very special gift you can give him today. Give him your life. Give him your life. Give him your life and let him be king and Lord of your life. I want you to think about it. Have I recognized him in his lordship today? And I came to worship him with my life. Not only that, I accept him as my Lord and my Savior in my life. Now that's that precious gift of gold. But what about the gift of frankincense? Well, when you think about frankincense, this was a gift of a priest, and he would offer up that, it was used in the temple, and it was used for a worship time, and it was a sweet fragrance that rose up to God. A sweet smelling fragrance. I always think about the story of the box of precious oil that they broke on Mary broke on Jesus' feet, and it run down, and it just filled the room with that fragrance. And I always think about what Ron Dunn, I believe it was, that said, you know, when you pour your life out on Jesus, it naturally comes back on you because the fragrance fills the room. And what more can we give Jesus than our life just poured out upon him this morning? That sweet smell of frankincense of our life. You see, when I think about the sweet smell of frankincense, I think about the gift of fellowship we can give God. You see, the wise men told Herod, they came what? To worship him. We come to worship him. And the Bible says when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down to worship him. They bowed down before him. Man, that would be a very special place to worship, wouldn't it? And worship is that excellent gift that we give God today, where we come and just worship him and fellowship with him and fellowship one with another in Christ Jesus. Friend, God desires a sweet smell of fellowship amongst his believers. In every church, there ought to be a group of people that worship God, live for God, pour their life out on God, and have a sweet fellowship with one another, and most of all, God. What better way to spend this Christmas than give our lives to God and spend our lives worshiping Him in a fellowship, a heart full of thanksgiving? I love that passage of Scripture where it says they came to praise God. He deserves the praise. He deserves every bit of our praise. In Psalms it says, I'll praise Him in His tabernacle. I'll praise Him in the morning. Oh, Lord my God. Let's sing it together. When I am awesome wonder, consider all Thy worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. How great You are, Lord. He deserves our fellowship, doesn't He? That on the cross, my sins, my burdens, gladly bearing, He bled, He died. Take away my sin. As Christians, our hearts ought to cry, Oh Lord my God, how great Thou art. How great Thou art. He deserves the Lordship. He deserves our acceptance of that Lordship. He deserves the worship and fellowship that we give Him this time of the year and every day of our life. They brought to Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He bled and died to take away my sin. Myrrh, I don't know if you know it, but it was used to embalm bodies. Jesus bled and died that we might live. Now listen, folks, we've got it all mixed up in America. He bled and died that we might live, not any way we want to. And that's where we've got it mixed up. We're to live for Him. Our lives ought to be pleasing for Him. And yet, many, many a Christian goes out into the world, they call themselves Christians, and they live their life for themselves. And we talked about it this morning, they run their testimony. They run their testimony by the things they do. Whether it's, folks, let me say, drinking alcohol. Man, at Christmas time, I know that everybody goes to party, wants a party and all of that. Man, party in Christ. Don't let the devil run your testimony. Stand up for what you believe is right and let it be according to the Word of God. And when we go against God's Word, listen, the world is watching you. Don't you call yourself a member of First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City and live like the devil. Amen. Does damage to the body of Christ. And I don't want God's body destroyed or damaged. Man, when I get ready to go to heaven, I want to go there with a, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I hate to say, some people say, "Well, I made it in by the skin of my teeth." Well, you ought to have had. You ought to have made it. Glory. Hallelujah. What a fitting gift. Jesus born that he might die. And he died that we might have eternal life. Matthew 1:21. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He became one of us, that he might die for us. Isn't that wonderful news? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might die for you and I, that we might live and go to heaven one day. I did a service the other day. A lady that I've known for years, wonderful lady. That was an easy service to do because I knew where she was at. I knew she was with God in heaven singing praises to God. The only reason she got there, though, was because he came and died for her sin. And by faith, one day she accepted him as her Lord and Savior. And because of that, she went to heaven. Not because she's a good lady. Not because she went to church. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did. If you ever make it into heaven today, it's only because of what Christ did, not what you've done. You see, by faith you must accept his lordship. You have to recognize him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and bring him your life. And say, "Lord, I'm giving you my life." Boy, that's when you give him your life, you don't take a little part of it back and say, "But I want to do this for the rest of my life." No, you give him all your life. You say, "Lord, here's my life." You take it and use it. Whatever you want to do with it, I thank you because you're Lord, not me. And that's what they did. They brought him the very special gifts. Jesus is my Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Question is he your shepherd today? He's my Savior. The question is he your Savior? Can you call him my Savior? If you cannot, you need to ask him to be your personal Savior today. Folks, that's the story, the greatest story ever told about Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to give him today? You see, some of you leave here, and you'll say, "You know, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to give him my whole life. Not today. I've got too much living." You do? You might die before the night falls. Then where will your soul be? The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes. That's not a parable. You see, there's an important decision. You'll go away from here either saved or lost, not in between, halfway or otherwise. You're either saved or you're lost. This morning you're either saved or you're lost. There's no gray area in between. You're either a Christian or you're lost. A lot of you need to make a decision to give him your life today to be Savior and Lord. And then there's those here this morning that have let the world creep in and ruin their testimony. Amen. You know, we all make decisions that are unpleasing to God, even the preacher. I'll have to admit, I have to get out on my knees all the time and say, Lord, forgive me. That's something. You know, the way I do, the way I live, the decisions I make, they're costly decisions. You pay a price. You're not going to get by with living halfway for God. Sooner or later, the consequences will hit, and you're going to pay the price. If you cannot say today that Jesus Christ is my own personal Savior, I have given Him the gift of Lordship in my life, I have accepted Him as Lord of my life, and I come today just to worship Him for the rest of my life, then you need to come. And I hope you thought about it. What kind of gift are you going to give Jesus today? For right now, you're going to make a decision. You're going to give Him gold, Lordship of your life, frankincense of fellowship in your life, or mirth, sonship. If you give Him those, you can say, happy birthday, Jesus. I've given you my life. But if not, it's just another day and a bad decision that you've made. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that as we come today, we'll think about Your birthday. We'll think about the love that it took to go to the cross to die for a bunch of sinners that mocked You, spit upon You, that cursed You, that said, crucify You. And yet You loved us so much. One of the last things You said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, may we come this morning. What a beautiful Christmas it would be if we give You our life. All of it. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.